Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I'm overjoyed to be joined once again by Tyler Brook and Nathan Marzion. You can find him at Tyler D. Brook. You can find the other dude at Nathan Marzion. You can figure out which one's which. Tyler, Nathan, how the heck are you guys doing?
Doing great. You know, obviously, it's always sad when the season ends, but it just means the start of my favorite time of the year, which is the NFL draft process.
I love it. Nathan, how are you doing? I know your favorite part of the year is still buck season, so I know you're a very happy person.
Yeah, doing well, doing well. I got the stream next to me right now, so I'm paying a little bit of attention to the Bucks at the moment. But yeah, they're playing pretty well. And you know, it sucks to see the Packers season end, but you know, this thing just keeps on rolling. We got now Buck season, Marquette's playing really well, so I'm following them a lot. So yeah.
I know you love the Badgers too. Badgers playing pretty well, beat Ohio State the other night. I know you don't like that, but
and we don't have to talk about the Hoosiers. Fire my
boots, hey, they had quite the college football season though, so like that's still a pretty big success overall, unlike the Badgers in that case. And yes, there are plenty of more teams that will get to break our hearts down the road here, so we will look forward to all of those coming up, whether it's Marquette, Wisconsin, Indiana, and or the Pacers or any of these teams. They will all, I'm sure, break our hearts through the remainder of the season. Then we get to Brewers and everyone else. They'll all break our hearts. That's why we do this. That's why we love it. We're today going to be talking about awards for the season. I'm excited to talk about this and kind of break it down. We've got a bunch of different ones to give. Some of them are going to be easy. Other ones are going to be more interesting. So I'm really curious your thoughts on it. Before we get there, I know we're still sort of in this postmortem piece of it. I think everyone's had kind of the opportunity to digest and go over how they've been feeling. But Tyler, I'll start with you. Your overarching thoughts on how this season ended and kind of the thoughts on the season as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ending's disappointing just because it felt like kind of a culmination of the negative parts of the season, which was shooting yourself in the foot, or you can say another body part if you'd like. But they shot themselves in the foot pretty much all season. And to, you know, right out of the gate, a fumble. I know we can argue about the, you know, the review of the fumble, but at the end of the day, it was a fumble on special teams and just, you know, a lot of self-imposed mistakes. So that part stinks, and, you know, that's not how you want to go out. But for the season as a whole, I'm extremely hopeful. Even back to last year when the Packers made the playoffs, at least the Acme Packing Company crew had been very on record saying, like, listen, this is going to be like a retooling phase. And once the dead caps are off the books in 2025, that's when this team can start being a serious contender. So the fact that they made the playoffs in these first two seasons, I know it's only three games, but how many teams don't have any playoffs in over those two seasons? So
the Bears.
Yep, the Bears, correct. So to get that playoff experience with such a young team, and now all of this, you know, these cap hits are off the books, and you can start making some, like, I think they're going to take some big swings this offseason. I'm thrilled with, you know, what the future holds, even if the season didn't end the way I wanted it to.
Love it. Nathan, how about you?
Yeah, I think that was very well said. I think they're still ahead of schedule at the end of the day. You got to kind of have some perspective with this. I know it's frustrating to lose. It's you know, maybe in the middle of the season, people had higher hopes than what they ended up doing. But I mean, again, it's a young team. And yes, it was frustrating to see those mistakes that they made all season come back to basically all haunt them in one game in the playoffs with, you know, the penalties, injuries, special teams miscues, you know, missed field goal, and just Love's interceptions, all that stuff just kind of all came to bite them at one time. So yeah, it's very frustrating and disappointing to lose in the first round and look as bad as they did. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, they're still ahead of schedule. I think there's still plenty to be excited about for the future. And I think, you know, next year I'm excited because I think next year is kind of, the year where I'm going to have, not that I didn't have high expectations this season, but I'm going to really have high expectations for this team. And I think it's kind of, I don't necessarily want to say make or break, but it's a make or break season for at least aspects of this team where it's like, okay, now it's year three maybe. And like, let's go, we got to do this thing. So I think I'm excited about that. And I'm still very optimistic about this team moving forward.
Yeah. I'm with both of you guys. It's hard. I think there's that immediate thought process, you know, after last year when they finished the season strong of like, oh, that arrow's pointing up, and that's immediately going to make it so that they're going to perform really well in 2024. Well, as we saw, it doesn't always work that way. And now we see them kind of trend down at the end of this year. And it just feels like, well, that's going to carry over into next year. And guess what? Just like it doesn't, you know, didn't do it last year, doesn't necessarily mean that's going to carry over next year as well. As we all know, growth is not linear. It doesn't follow a certain pattern. I do think it's important that this team learns from those mistakes, because they had multiple opportunities this year and never really seemed to at any point in time. So it's going to be important that they learn from their mistakes, actually get better and grow from some of the adversity that they faced this season. But I think they will. 2025 was kind of, I think, a date that, or a year that a lot of us had sort of checked off once the Rodgers era was over and the Love era started. And now we're about to see it. And I do agree with you, both of you guys, that I do think Goody's going to be very aggressive this offseason in improving this roster and maybe even having them take a step higher next year.
And I think next year could be classified as like the growing up year. Like this, okay, we've had our little growing stage, and now it's time to like actually get to a point where, okay, we're not making all of those, you know, mistakes that young teams make, and we're not getting out to slow starts all season against good teams like they were this year. Like it's kind of time to clean that stuff up. And you know, time will tell if that actually happens, but I do believe it will happen. And I think we'll notice a little bit of a shift, like, okay, this team they're not playing as much like a young team, which at times can be good, but at times can be very bad.
Are you saying it's time for big boy football?
Yes, big boy football.
I was going to say 2023 was their adolescent season where it's like, oh, this is fun and everything's great. 2024 was puberty. Like there were some real growing pains. There were some there were some weird things that we did not see coming at all. So yeah, 2024 was puberty. 2025 is adult big boy football. I'm all for that comparison.
Wow. That's amazing. I really like that.
Love it.
2024, the puberty Packers. 2025, big boy football. All right, let's get into, now that we can transition from that, thankfully, we're going to get to our awards for this season. Like I said, some of these are going to be really quick, really easy. Some of them I think are going to have much bigger debate and be more fun conversation, but we'll go through all of them. Like I said, I got 18 different categories here. So like I said, some of them we'll go through quick. I think the first one is probably an example of that. I'll start with offensive MVP for this team. I'll start by asking, is there anyone that wants to take a stab and go in any direction besides Josh Jacobs on this
one? Okay, good. All right, I was a little worried. You could make a very brief argument about Tucker Kraft, but I think his utilization just hurts that argument. But I think the vibes and just mentality he has could really be there. But Josh Jacobs embodies everything. My biggest worry was not the production of Aaron Jones. It was losing that guy in the locker room. And to not only find a guy, which I would argue is an upgrade at the position as a player, but also be equal as far as like the locker room vibe guy. And just to for him to finish the season with that run he had, you know, just like half a yard short of a touchdown and punch it in the next play. It's one of my favorite plays of the season. It really just sparked and gave Packers fans hope in a playoff game that just really stunk to watch. Could not agree more. He's offensive player of the year to me.
I just want to add one thing, Nathan, before you chime in on this one too. There were a couple times this season where you could very much tell he's like, just put it on my back. I got this. The Jaguars game was one of those for sure. When Jordan Love went down and, you know, Malik Willis did a really nice job coming in that game and making some throws and making some plays as well. But you could tell Josh Jacobs at that time is like, don't worry about this, guys. I got this. Put it on my back and I'm going to go do it. And then like to your point, even in this Eagles game when nothing was going right, they couldn't get anything going offensively for that brief moment. He's like, just put it on my back. I'm going to do everything in my power to get you there. And he couldn't quite overcome a 4 turnover deficit and some poor blocking and everything else. But man, did he do everything in his power to do his damnedest to try to get them back in that game.
Yeah. It's got to be Josh Jacobs. And he, when you've combined the Love getting injured at the start of the year and, you know, them leading to lean even more on him than I think they maybe even planned to, not that they plan to not use him a lot, but just, you know, Love going down and the volume that he had throughout the year, ended up with over 300 carries, 15 touchdowns. Like they shifted their offense a little bit to just focus more on the run and really be more of a run first team than they were last season and with Aaron Jones, where it was always kind of like, okay, you got to keep him fresh. And he's kind of used to complement the pass game. This was just like, no, we are now like, this is now a Josh Jacobs centered offense with, you know, passing to complement that. And he definitely became the focal point, and, you know, the numbers back that up and all the volume. And again, we saw the performances, like you said, where it was just like, all right, I'll take us there. Or I'll at least keep us in this game single-handedly. And it was a joy to watch. And, you know, I'm just very excited. He's a Green Bay Packer for the near future.
All right, number two, I think, is also going to be on the easier side, defensive MVP. You could maybe make a Jeff Hafley argument here. Yeah, you know, I mean, Edgerrin Cooper has been very exciting. I think this still has to be Xavier McKinney. Does anyone want to argue anything besides Xavier McKinney for a defensive MVP?
You can't. I don't think you can make any other argument for anyone.
Yeah,
it's pretty cut and dry.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm good with X being the one.
We don't need to spend too much time on it. Obviously, I don't even know. Eight or nine interceptions? Did he end with eight?
I want to say eight.
Yeah, I think eight interceptions.
What was the streak to start the year? Was it five, six?
Five games, something like
five,
that.
Five.
Something
I
like
remember
that.
Exactly
like,
what it was. Yeah.
I mean, it was just an absurd when you like, especially think back at it. But just the impact too that he had on teams not even wanting to throw in his direction after he did have that streak, and just really making it so that teams really had really, really struggled to throw deep against this defense. And he was such a key piece there. Another thing, like we talked about with Josh Jacobs, of not only finding a guy on the field, but a guy off the field and in the locker room that challenges players and makes them better. I do not think it is happenstance that you saw pretty darn good performances out of Evan Williams, Ketanji Adapo, and Javon Bullard at safety when given opportunities, because, you know, Xavier's playing next to him and getting those guys prepared as well. Yeah, I would be hard pressed to say anybody besides Xavier McKinney for this specific spot.
I actually wanted to add to that too. Like, I wonder how much more impressive a season would have looked if the other safety stayed healthy. Because when they were out, I felt like he had to play different roles that weren't really his strengths. A lot of like alley filling and stuff like that, I noticed.
Fair.
And like, I don't think it's his strength per se. I don't think he's bad at it. But I just wonder if, you know, Bullard and Williams stay healthy for the whole year and he's able to just, you know, really just stick as, you know, that ball hawk in the backfield. You know, maybe he has double digit interceptions.
I totally agree. And again, I think his impact was felt in numerous ways. I think the corners looked better because of Xavier McKinney. Mm-hmm. I think the run defense looked better because of Xavier McKinney. He was just a value add in every single way. Even when he wasn't getting all those picks, he was still having a massive impact out on the field, and his presence was felt in a multitude of ways. So defensive MVP, Xavier McKinney. The next one, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on just because who really cares all that much anyway, but special teams MVP. I'm going to go Brandon McManus. I know he missed the field goal in the final game, which was very disappointing, but I think two missed kicks on the year and came in at a position that was of dire need. And you find him, you know, kind of off the street for reasons I get, but, you know, to find him and plug him in and be really, really good for the remainder of the year. Again, the last kicker, I guess, the missed kick in the playoffs, all things considered in that as well. But I just don't know who else I would go with here. I'm going Brandon McManus.
I did really like Dan Whelan for like a pretty long stretch of the year. I thought he cooled off by the tail end of the year, but
yeah, I was going to say Tyler might pick Dan Whelan. So
he blacked out a couple of games. I think it might've been the Jaguars game, but there's a couple of those close games where he flipped the field so well. I don't think they win without him.
Yeah, no, it's true. But then just a falling back to earth a little bit. I know a lot of that is like cold and Lambeau and some things like that. And it affects like
kicking
a
concrete block or something. I imagine.
Yes, very much so. But I'm still going, especially like, I know it didn't like the Bears game at the end. I know it ended up not being a game winner in the end, but 55 yarder, like that would have been a game winner if they just didn't do some really, really stupid stuff at the end of that one. I got to go McManus.
On this one. Still makes me mad.
any other ones? Or are we sticking with McManus?
Good with that.
I think that's good.
The next one's in a more intriguing one, and you could define this in any way that you want whatsoever. So I'm going to go breakout player on this one. So it could be, you could do breakout coach, I guess, as well. So if you wanted to do a Jeff Hafley, you could here. Breakout player and or coach for the season. Anyone have a...
You know mine.
Edge Cooper? Mine.
Yes, of course.
All right.
Because it was the guy I shot my shot with before the draft for months in advance. I was very loud about how much I loved this kid. And it wasn't even like if he landed on the Packers. I just thought he was going to be a good pro wherever he landed. But I think he's the perfect chess piece in the middle of that defense for Jeff Hafley, who loves these, you know, guys that can fly all over the field. And I think he's just scratching the surface of what he's capable of.
I'm cool with that. Nathan, anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, Cooper might be my number one pick. Just to go a little bit in a different direction, I'll say Tucker Kraft. I mean, I think, you know, people had expectations for him coming into the year, but there was this hope that and I know Musgrave was kind of thought to maybe be the one at tight end, and they might use both of them. I mean, obviously, Musgrave wasn't available for most of the season, and we kind of needed him to break out a little bit, and he definitely stepped up and played that role. And again, I mean, we've made the comparisons a little bit on this podcast, I know, but I just love how they're using him. And I know that maybe it could, you know, he hasn't had the crazy high volume as some of these other tight ends, but I think the way he's used is kind of similar sometimes to like a George Kittle, with just the combination of things that he does. I'm very excited for his future in Green Bay too.
I think, Nathan, you said your first pick would still Edrian Cooper.
I'd still probably go Cooper.
I was going to say, I will break the tie, but it sounds like we're all in agreement. I would have gone Cooper only because I thought a lot of Tucker's breakout happened at the end of 2023, not fully to where he is in 2024, but I saw a huge chunk of that at the end of 2023. So I'm going to go with, Edge Cooper being the breakout player and really making a name for himself. I'm in agreement there. We're 3-for-3 on that one as well. All right, number 5, most disappointing player and or coach on this team. There's options on this one.
Unfortunately. I know.
I'll go first. I'm going to go Kenny Clark on this one. Gets the big contract in the offseason. Has been Mr. Consistency throughout his career. Definitely thought we saw a little bit of falling off over the last few seasons, but still, you know, impactful player. I definitely think that the change in defense, it was something that he struggled with. I think sort of unexpectedly so, but really, I mean, I saw, maybe it was Ken Ingles. I forget who tweeted it out, but somebody tweeted something to the effect of like, if you would have told me that Kenny Clark didn't play this year, I would have probably believed you. And I still think there were things that he did that helped this team clearly, but to me, from a normal expectations for Kenny Clark, he probably was the one that came shortest for me. So I'm going to go Kenny on this one, which feels really painful because he's just been the consummate Green Bay Packer, a constant carrier of the G. He's done everything they've always asked of him. It's like, he's such a likable dude. But I'm going to go Kenny on this one.
Talking about scheme fits, I'll flip it to the opposite side as far as disappointment. I thought this scheme was perfect for Lucas Van Ness and just didn't see that step forward that I was hoping for. And like, I think there was a stretch on the tail end of the year where I started to see some flashes, but the consistency is nowhere near where it needs to be. And just the overall aggregate numbers just aren't where I would hope for them to be. Because again, if you built a 4-3 defensive end at a lab, from an athletic profile, it's probably Lucas Van Ness. Just an absolute freak of nature. So, but I think this goes back to your point at the beginning of the episode. Progress is not linear. It's disappointing he didn't have that big second year leap. And like, I'm still have all the confidence in the world that if he like can reach his potential, he's going to be absolutely dominant. So I'm not going to just say like cut Lucas Van Ness. I think that's immature and, you know, premature. But you just was hoping for that second year leap that we didn't get.
Fair enough.
I think similar to that, you could say Dontayvion Wicks, we also hoped for a very big second year leap. And he wasn't like awful by any means. I mean, he's still, I think, is someone you can have some hope for and made some nice plays. But obviously the drop issues, only caught, I think it was barely over 50% of his targets, only ended up with barely over 400 yards. People definitely expected, or I know a lot of people definitely expected him to kind of take a leap and contend for maybe even being the number one guy in this offense. I know after that long preseason touchdown he had, people definitely like the hype was, you know, off and running, and just didn't really fully live up to that. Now, again, I don't think that means there's no hope for the future, that he can't get to a point where he's a pretty steady contributor on this team. We've seen other receivers, you know, go through struggles earlier in their careers that, you know, there's hope he can definitely turn it around, but definitely disappointing to see the drop issues he had and really not being able to step up and consistently be a top receiver on this team.
Did any of you consider Jordan Love for this one?
No,
because he wasn't bad enough to be most disappointed.
I agree. I'm just curious.
The recency bias from the last game is going to lead a lot of people to think that, but it's like, he wasn't that bad.
Got to look at the whole picture. I totally agree. Yeah. All right. So that's going to be left up to our listeners/viewers. So make the comment. Do you want to go with Dontayvion Wicks? Do you want to go with Kenny Clark? And I already forgot who Tyler said. Who did Tyler say?
Oh my, LVN. Wow, I forgot who I said for a second. Dang.
So LVN, at least LVN, I was listening. I was listening. Good.
I don't listen to myself.
So I was too, but I just couldn't remember it. All right. So people listening or watching on YouTube, comment, and we'll tally those up at the end. But those are your three options. I guess you could go other two, but that's not fun. So pick from the three. All right. Most surprising player for you this year.
Ooh, I actually have one I like. Sean Ryan. A guy that I wasn't totally certain was going to even start this year, and has kind of had like, you know, had a rough start. He got suspended his first year of that. Thought he was an ass kicker sometimes this year. Like there were plays. I still vividly remember so many opening drives this year where they're just like, we're going to run the football like 12 times and try and stop us. And if you watch the way they run duo and you just watch Sean Ryan just cave dudes in, yep, reset the line of scrimmage like 3-4 yards downfield, blown away by his development. I think he's a long-term starting guard at this point. I think you don't have to worry about that position anymore. Love the year he had. I think I saw someone tweet, I didn't see it on the broadcast, but was he crying at the end of the game, like while on the field? I think I'd seen someone tweet
that. I think
it was right after Myers got hurt. Like, he's just very emotional, like trying to finish the game. Like, clearly that guy cares about his teammates. Blown away by the year he had, was not expecting it at all.
He might have been crying because when he snapped that ball, it looked like he snapped it right into his own nuts on that play. That might have been why he was. No, I'm just kidding. He's awesome. I love Sean Ryan. Nate, what about you? Nathan, I should say, what about you?
Most surprising for me, definitely Malik Willis.
Good answer.
Yeah. I mean, just I was blown away at how he was able to run the offense and at least be competent and like really just hold his own when he was in there. While Love was out, it was just one of the like most surprising things. One of the more surprising quarterbacks possibly of the season this year in any team was like people just left this guy for dead. Packers picked him up for what was it, a 7th round pick? And it was like, yeah, all right, you know, just in case Love maybe goes down, like maybe this guy could have a game or two that is halfway decent. But even then, it was just kind of that we didn't even know if this guy could throw the football. It was just there were so many question marks, and he came in and was just very, very solid in Love's absence. And like, I was just very surprised with him and very happy to see him look like a competent backup quarterback that we actually ended up needing this season.
That's exactly where I was going as well. Again, a throwaway 7th round pick, a bottom of the 7th round pick for a quarterback that the Titans were ready to basically give away to make that move. And we've seen, you know, Goody and GMs in the past of like, well, we spent a 7th round pick on Michael Pratt, so we're just going to roll with that. We're not going to make any other investments into it. And we spent what, a 5th or 6th round pick on Sean Clifford, so we're not going to move on from that. But they're like, nope, we're going to cut Sean Clifford, we're going to cut Michael Pratt, and we're going to go get a new guy in here that can be a better backup, we think, with still some upside. Swap a 7th round pick. I think if Green Bay gets any of the other Tennessee Titans quarterbacks in that trade that the Titans clearly wanted, I don't think Green Bay wins those 3 games early in the season, like the Jaguars, the Colts, and the, was it Titans game? So the fact that they are able to get the one that worked and the one that fit perfectly within this offense, I have to go most surprising as well for Malik Willis. However, Tyler, the next one is most improved player. And that one I definitely had pegged for Sean Ryan on that one, where again, just the growth where, especially year over year, like first year showed up out of shape, suspended by the end of the year, and did like I honestly thought, and then came out of shape again year two, to the point where I didn't know if he was going to make it out of training camp in year two as a 3rd round pick. Like, I thought he legitimately might get cut, to getting rotational snaps by the end of year two, to being a rotational starter at the end of year three, or sorry, beginning of year three, to being a really good starter by the end of year three. I have to go most improved for Sean Ryan on this one. Well, unfortunately, Green Bay season is over, but that doesn't mean that the winning on Prize Picks needs to come to an end. The divisional round is one of the best weekends in sports, and right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money, and that's because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching the playoffs. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts, and don't forget that there are plenty of other sports available to play as well, and it's never a bad time to get in on the basketball action. This week, I'm going with both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to put on a show, Saquon Barkley to continue his ridiculous tear, and Amon-Ra St. Brown to once again dominate with multiple receptions. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Nathan, I'm going to need you to go because I feel bad saying Ryan twice in a row.
Oh, you can do it.
I'm going to say Ryan too. So
we can be unanimous. Yeah.
There's a small Carrington Valentine argument. There's a Tucker Kraft.
I thought Carrington was awesome as a rookie. Like, I was blown away by his rookie tape. So I thought he took a step back right in the Goddard touchdown.
Yeah, that was brutal. The last game was brutal. The last game was absolutely brutal.
I felt awful for him too, because like, yeah, a guy that does not lack confidence when he's on the field to just get humbled like that sucked.
Yeah. There's a Tucker Kraft argument, I think, here. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, I think it gets really difficult.
I thought Dobbs, when he's on the field, was kind of awesome. I trusted his hands way more this year.
That's fair. Emmanuel Wilson took a little bit of a step. Yeah, that would Wilson be one. I don't know. This one just feels like Ryan.
It's Ryan. Yep.
Okay. All right. Most underrated player on this team.
Man, you should have sent us to these before so we could like.
Nope. This is exactly this is exactly why I didn't want to send you. I'm going to pretend that and not that I just ran out of time and didn't get to send it to you like I wanted to. But it is, I think it actually does make for more interesting conjecture. I'll go to give you guys a little bit of time.
I'm sorry. What was the award again? I already spaced.
Underrated. Most underrated player on the Packers. Like people, a player that maybe Packers fans are not giving enough credit to for the season that they had. I actually think there's an argument for Sean Ryan here as well, but I'm actually going to go with Javon Bullard on this one. I actually saw some Javon Bullard frustration or like this guy sucks. He's a bust of a second round pick. Man, I get there were some flaws and deficiencies specifically in coverage and specifically at safety from Javon Bullard, but his attacking downhill mentality, some of the plays that we saw on those screens on the outside, especially even against Philly in this last game where he just crashed down and tackled. Like I am still very excited about Javon Bullard, the prospect, the player. And I think he is not getting the credit he deserved for having what I think was still a pretty solid rookie season, all things considered. I'm not saying it was this legendary second round performance. He wasn't even the best second rounder from Green Bay on this team, but I still liked what I saw. And I think he is being very underrated for what he put on tape through the course of the season.
I did not like this guy when he came out of the draft, and I was actually don't know why I was so upset they took him in the seventh round. But Rashid Walker has no business being a long-term starting left tackle just from his draft profile. But man, has he just come a long way! Like he's probably the guy I'm worried the least amount about in pass protection at this point. And I would have said Zach Tom, but like there were just some games. Like I thought that Eagles game wasn't pretty. That Lions game wasn't pretty.
Agreed.
But Walker, for like we always talk about the offensive line, feels like he kind of goes under the radar even in that unit. Just blown away by, you know, how far he's developed. I think that's a credit to Adam Stenovich, by the way, who is actually terrible. No one should hire him.
Love it. Nathan, you got one?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's hard because, like you said, if you're doing it by who Packers fans kind of undervalue, I think that differs a little bit from where like maybe guys are undervalued just league-wide. Because you could make an argument that like, you know, Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams, those guys, because they're young and everything, maybe people don't necessarily give them the credit they deserve. But from a Packers fan standpoint, I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of times linemen just don't get the love that they maybe earn or deserve. They don't get, you know, they don't, not as flashy and anything. So I think several good names there that I know Tyler kind of mentioned was Walker and Zach Tom. I guess I'll probably go Sean Ryan again. I know we've mentioned him several times, but I just think, yeah, those guys are definitely all very underrated by Packers fans, I guess, specifically. I just think the line sometimes deserves more love, so I'll give the line some love.
Ryan's cleaning up, dang.
The here's the thing. It's crazy for me. Like, I haven't finished grading the final game of the season yet, but I have Sean Ryan right next to Elgton Jenkins on my grade going into that final game of the season. Like, that's where I'm at with it. So, like, It's been very, very good. I've been very impressed. So I don't think it's not worthy that he is worthy of multiple awards here. And I'm very, very happy with how he played through a good chunk of this season. It was funny. He was almost always either on my top three graded players or bottom three graded players for the week. Like there was no in between. It was either like, oh, yeah, that was just a really bad game for Sean Ryan and he ended up in the bottom three, or he played great and he was in the top three. But I still, on the whole, he was a big time value add. The next one is one of the more intriguing ones that I think there's a lot of different directions that we could go in here. And that is best new addition to the team. And I think there's four that you could really make an argument for: Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, Edgerrin Cooper, and Jeff Hafley. You could make an Evan Williams argument, maybe a Malik Willis argument, but I think there's probably four that you could really go with. And I think it's a very interesting debate as to which one was the best new addition to this team.
Banging the table for Jeff Hafley. From the beginning when we started to learn what his defense was, and then we started to see the pieces they were adding to it, it just made too much sense. And to see that, like, you could kind of see the vision early on and then how they executed it, I just thought was impressive execution. My biggest beef with people that are critical of Jeff Hafley is, like, he gets exposed in some games. I'm like, yeah, That's what being a defensive coordinator is. It doesn't matter how good you are. You can have the best defense anyone's ever seen. You're going to get got sometimes. People are going to score touchdowns against you. And to see the improvement, and we talked about this on the radio show, Andy, to see the improvement, and it's not even like he has, quote-unquote, his guys everywhere yet. They've just sprinkled them into a roster filled with Joe Barry guys, and like some of them are perfect scheme fits. So, I just think what the work he did with what he had is unbelievable. I think it's a huge reason their defense was so successful. And once it all came together by the end of the year, I mean, like the Eagles really couldn't do much in that game. If the offense has stepped up a bit, Packers are playing this weekend.
Nathan?
Yeah, this is tough. You could go so many different ways. I'm going to go with Xavier McKinney because I think it was the best addition because of the safety play that we had prior to this. And like for so long wanting to have that safety that we can just trust. And that it is one of the better ones in the league and isn't a liability. You know, I think that's maybe where I would give him the edge over someone like Jacobs, where yes, Jacobs was an amazing addition, but we did already have a good running back in Aaron Jones. So I think McKinney coming in, being that safety that we've wanted for so long and from the get go, you know, just lighting it up out there and playing fantastic football and making his presence felt. You know, we mentioned the streak of interceptions he had to start the season. You kind of mentioned earlier how he seemed to make the cornerbacks better and unlock the whole defense. I think I'll go with him as the best addition. It's tough though, because yeah, there's several other guys that easily could get this as well.
Those are the two I was deciding between, Jeff Hafley and Xavier McKinney. I'm going to go with Jeff Hafley only for the reason that if you would have told me that Joe Barry was still the defensive coordinator, but you get Xavier McKinney, I don't know that I feel like this defense would have improved all that much. If Jeff Hafley was here and Xavier McKinney was not, I still have faith that Jeff Hafley would have found a way to somehow make it work and the defense still would have been improved. So for that reason, I am going Jeff Hafley slightly over Xavier McKinney, but I think those are the top two. But again, no disrespect to Edrian Cooper, Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney. I think all of them are very worthy additions, and those are all big time additions that are going to help this team moving forward as well. All right, I think number 10 is easy, rookie of the year. Anyone want to try to make an argument for anyone besides Edrian Cooper on this one?
That boy fast.
I mean, yeah, it's Cooper. Obviously, I think Evan Williams deserves a little bit of recognition, but he, for the whole course of the season, I would go with Cooper.
I'm gonna combine two here. I had one of these later, but it kind of is in the same realm. So you can, if you want to define it differently, you can. But favorite moment of the season and favorite play of the season, they're probably the same. If you have a separation of church and state between those two, go for it. But favorite play and or moment of the season?
The Commanders' Hail Mary over the Bears.
Oh, okay. That's really fun.
So I have a great story about this because like I lived in Chicago for 6 years. All of my best friends I met out there, and they're all huge Bears fans, right? So like that's when they were 4-2, about to go 5-2, right? The group chat was just blowing up like Packers are frauds. It's the Bears year, all of the stuff. And then that happens and just seeing the chat go completely quiet. And so obviously I jumped in there and just made a ton of fun of them. So that is far and away my favorite moment of the season.
All right, Tyler or Nathan.
I can talk about it again. I'm happy to.
If I'm talking, I mean, if I'm going to try to pick a Packers one, I think I would say, man, I'm trying to think of all the games and stuff. Like I know the Bears missing the field goal against us to lose was very funny. And just like, that was a fun moment because it was just like the Bears are never going to beat us. Unfortunately, they ended up beating us, but I guess there were a lot of things that happened in that game. I might just say that for now and try to think of something else.
Okay, I'll give you a moment here. So I'm going to say I'm going to go play of the year is still the Josh Jacobs run in the playoffs. And maybe that's recency bias, but that was such an awesome play. And again, in a moment where you felt like you had no hope whatsoever, it gave you that spark of hope and was really the first moment and maybe kind of the only moment in that game where you're like, maybe they can actually like somehow pull this off. So that was probably worth it in and of itself. My favorite moment of the year was probably when they signed Xavier McKinney. Like that was like a moment where I'm like, oh man, I mean, you could probably throw the moving on from Joe Barry in this conversation as well, but I'll go more positive here and just say, like they're like, cause this is like the 1A guy. We're like, man, is this just a perfect fit? He's a big time free agent. Like, could they actually pull this off? And then there was like rumors of like, they might pull this off. and then they did, and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. Such a perfect fit. So I think favorite moment was
a bag too.
Yeah, they did. So I think favorite moment is the Xavier McKinney signing. Favorite play was the Josh Jacobs run in the playoffs.
Those are good. Those are good.
All right. Worst moment.
Hold on. I just thought of one. I thought of a moment. Easy favorite moment. Jordan Love got his turkey leg.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yes.
It was just like a very cathartic moment, it felt like, because everyone was so mad about the year about the Lions that it was a huge win for them, too. And he didn't get a turkey leg after it. So for him to get that, and they went all out. Oh my gosh. Who was the Hall of Famer that did all this? Why am I forgetting his name? He was in the kitchen for the Thanksgiving game. They kept cutting to the Hall of Famer.
Leroy Butler.
Oh my gosh. Why was I forgetting the name? That's embarrassing. They did not skimp out. He got turkey legs. They got everything for that. It was perfect.
Yes.
And then Josh Jacobs taking the whole plate with him as he walked off. That was funny.
Amazing. Yeah. Still some very positive moments. All right. Let's ruin it by going over our worst moment of the season. I have two in mind if you guys need to some time. All right. I'll give you guys
The first half hour of every game against a good team, pretty much.
Wow.
That's fair. I have two. The Jordan Love MCL moment against Philly. Yeah. Because you just thought in the moment that the whole season's done right then and there. Yeah. You could make the argument that when you get the reprieve that he's not done for the year, that it maybe isn't quite that. But, man, in that actual moment when it happened, just seeing it, not only are you aged losing to Philly in that game, there's a disappointment in and of itself. And now you're like, oh, great, like 2024 might just be done here and now. That was – and then I have to, too. And, again, maybe this is recency bias, but – The kick return fumble by Keyshawn Nixon in the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Just like you're all excited. It's playoff football, Packers, Eagles. They're going to maybe learn from their mistakes and not have a really bad start to the game. And we don't even get 5 seconds into the game where your heart's already like ripped out and you're like just stomped on and you like spit on and like, nope, not going to, you know, we're still going to do the same, you know, same thing over and over. So it would either be the MCL or the Keyshawn Nixon return for me.
I think mine was the officiating in that Lions game where they definitely felt like they had that game. And was it offensive pass interference or was it illegal man downfield? Like it was one of the two.
OPI. Yeah, I think so.
Because the exact same thing happens on that final Lions drive and they don't call it. And LaFleur is just freaking out on the sideline. And I hate to be the officials guy. I try not to be for the most part, but it was just that game. Those happen.
Sometimes
too.
You have to be. Hey, sometimes the officials suck, you know, and you got to call it out.
Yep.
I just wanted to say I really like both of yours, Andy, because they kind of gave you a similar feeling, but in different ways, where the Love injury was like the season just started and we're already like it could be this could just be it. And, you know, we basically didn't even get a chance to really get going. And then with the Nixon fumble, it was like the playoff game just started. We didn't even get a chance to get going. I think both of them were kind of just like such early deflators for you. And it was like, you've got to be kidding me right now. I'll say I think the love injury was probably in the moment the worst for me because there was so much unknown and it was like, oh my goodness, it looked really bad at you know, when it happened. And it was just like, this really is going to be how this season goes. Is one game in, we're going to lose our quarterback and, you know, it's going to hurt the growth of everyone on this team. And it just is going to be a season like that. That was definitely a very, very scary moment. And like you said, coming off the loss, it was just like the double whammy. I'll go with that one.
I know you never know until you get the imaging or whatever, but I did hear after that the like training staff and everyone knew on the field pretty immediately that, or at least had a pretty strong belief immediately that it was not a torn ACL. So obviously we didn't know that at the time, but apparently they felt and knew kind of pretty quick that it probably wasn't going to be that. But that moment, just watching from home and all of it was
in Twitter doctors showing slow videos.
The worst moment for sure. Just having to go through Twitter doctor hell for like a good day up until we found anything of like anyone that just randomly put MD or PhD or anything at the end of their Twitter handle and is like, well, based on my, and it was like everyone was like contradicting each other. It's like, it's clearly like his head fell off. His Achilles is gone. His leg is going to have to be amputated. Everything in between. It was nightmare fest.
I was going to say, I remember being at the bar with my friends that night and like, we're all like watching the slow-mo video, like, is this, you know, was it that bad? And we're trying to, like, every time you refresh Twitter, there was someone new saying something that about it that was like, oh, this is good news. Oh, wait, no, this is bad. Oh, it actually could be okay. It was such a roller coaster. And I mean, I know, like, this, it happens a lot with injuries in sports, but we were kind of through the same similar thing when Giannis in the Eastern Conference Finals years ago, you know, leg kind of bends the wrong way, and immediately you're like refreshing everything you can to like see, okay, does anyone know what's going on here? Does anyone have an idea if this is serious? And yeah, luckily both of them ended up okay,
thankfully. Although kudos to Giannis for winning a championship on his, you know, Jordan couldn't pull that off the same way, unfortunately, but
he's got several years left.
Yes, yeah. He does. All right. Coach of the year. I'm going to go just Jeff Hafley on this one. Again, I don't know that there's any other conversation to be had here.
Nope. We can move on. That one's pretty straightforward.
Deal. Most surprising. Did we do this one? Oh yeah, we did do most surprising player easily. All right. That is one less. Biggest reason for optimism moving forward.
Shoot.
That's not a great sign.
No, there's too many to choose from.
No, I know.
The defense as a whole, I think.
Yeah.
The mantra that defense wins championships. You got your defensive coordinator, knock on wood, Woody Johnson. You stay the hell away from that man. love Edgerrin Cooper. Xavier McKinney was a home run signing. I still believe in Rashawn Gary. LVN can take a huge step forward. I think they're going to make another splash move, either a pass rusher, corner, or both. Get guys that fit Hafley's scheme. I cannot wait for the defense going forward. And it's kind of nice thinking about it. You know, for all the years that Packers were at elite quarterbacks, it's kind of rare to find those defenses as a whole that are just dominant. So I'm kind of looking forward to that being a possibility.
I'm there too.
I guess I'll say the combination of youth and cap space. I think just having the, not that they aren't already good. You know, it's not like this is some team in a big rebuild that is just trying to build from the ground up or anything, but I think having, you know, the ability to still get better with the current players you have, like everyone seems to be kind of on a mainly upward trajectory, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys to be excited about. And then also having the ability now to go out, be aggressive and bring in some even better players for this next season and the near future. Like there's just, I mean, this team is far from like, you know, they're on an upward trajectory. They are far from being done or close to done. This team is still headed in the right direction. As we said, like, I know it's frustrating to lose in the playoffs and, you know, it was an ugly loss and all that. And they definitely, like, I don't think many people think they took a big step forward this year, but like, they're still, again, keep the perspective. They're still ahead of schedule and they're still in a pretty good spot compared to where we all thought they might be, you know, when Love first took over after 2 years. So
nope. Jordan Love's a bust. Fire Matt LaFleur, fire Jeff Hafley. The Super Bowl window's closed.
Just need to find a way to combine the end of the 2023 offense with the end of the 2024 defense with the middle of the 2024 special teams. If they can somehow find a way to merge those three things together, they should be in a very good place.
You're talking like a 19-0 team or 20-0 or however.
Yeah, seriously, if you could combine those things, yeah, I'm right. Yeah, you'd be a very
and just
very
extend, good just extend Toyota-thon the whole season, please.
Yes,
there
yes.
you go. I'm going to go with defense. I'm going to lean on Tyler on this one a little bit, but I like both of those answers quite a bit. But I would say Jeff Hafley, the defensive improvement is my biggest reason for optimism. On the flip side, biggest reason for concern moving forward.
Are the wide receivers developing correctly? What's the plan there? Are they going to stick with the guys they have? Are they going to take a swing? Are they going to draft someone? Please draft Matthew Golden. He's so good. We'll see what happens there because Watson's not playing at all next year is my guess. That sucks. And I feel like the upside on the guys they currently have is we're starting to see what the upside is. And it's not like any of these guys are going to be like a star number one. I think they're all very good. I think they all can become very good as well. But I would really like to see that alpha in the room next year.
That was going to be my answer. I think, and I'm not mad at them for, you know, because I know people even last season, it was like, should they get a one? And I, you know, there were questions coming in about can any of these guys be a one, but you have plenty of time. Like I have no problem with them going into this season saying, we're going to see what we have in these guys. We're going to give them all reps. We're going to really see if any of these guys step up, be a one. I don't think any of them did. You know, we still saw some good glimpses from a lot of these guys. Jaden Reed had a good season, but he's not a one. Obviously Watson gets hurt. Dobbs isn't a one. And, you know, Wicks did not, again, kind of had a disappointing season. So it's like, I think now you kind of know your answer of, okay, we do need to get someone in here that can be a one. And that, yeah, that to me is the number one thing that I think, or I guess number one concern is like, who, yeah, how are they going to get that number one guy? Because my belief is, and I know some people disagree with this, I think that you need either an elite quarterback or a number one wide receiver in order to, you know, really contend for Super Bowl. And Love is good, but so far he hasn't been, like, he's not an elite quarterback right now. And I think even just getting a number one receiver can help him get closer to an elite level. You know, we see quarterbacks jump from pretty good to really good when you give them better weapons. You know, I think there's really a case to be made that, hey, Jordan Love maybe didn't look fantastic this season because none of these guys stepped up and were a one. So I think getting that guy in here unlocks a little bit more of this offense, unlocks Jordan Love a little bit, and just having that guy on like a third down where you can just trust that, you know, you're going to go his way and most of the time it's going to work out. You know, I think most quarterbacks or most great quarterbacks typically have a guy like that, that they can kind of lean on and fall back on when they need to. So I think getting that guy is going to be pretty important.
I've done a 180 on, and I mean, I got asked about it. I think I did a hot take on it on the radio show right before, I think it was like the Vikings game, where I said, like, you still don't need a number one. Like, I was still dug in and entrenched on it, and I'll just take the L on this overall. But clearly some things have changed. I mean, the last 3 weeks of the season, they really struggle with man coverage. Nobody could get off of it. Christian Watson goes down with a torn ACL, which likely nukes, if not all of, a good chunk of his 2025 campaign. Romeo Doubs has back-to-back really bad concussions, from at least what it looked like. We'll see what comes of that, but that gives me some level of concern. Jaden Reed led the team in drops. The entire receiving core as a whole, I believe, led the league in drops as a team. And nobody, not a single player. And you could have not got me to bet, you know, enough money on this that I would have bet, or I guess the other way around, of I never would have predicted in a million years that not a single wide receiver of those six took a step forward in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, never would have seen it coming. But by the end of the year, you look at it, not a single wide receiver took a step forward. Multiple took a step back, and you led the league in drops as a core. And now you have multiple injuries, not to mention Doubs and Watson are unrestricted free agents in 2026. Like, that, the calculus has changed on this, even over the course of the past few weeks since the Watson injury, and obviously just nobody taking a step. The offense looked like it was stuck in neutral. And so, yeah, I've done a complete 180. I'll take the L on it. And I very much do think that they need to add a playmaker and somebody that can get off of man coverage to help Jordan out moving forward.
Welcome home, Davante Adams. We missed you.
Yes. I'm all in.
Everyone's all in. Did you see my tweet about his Instagram?
No.
Yeah, I saw that. Where everyone, all the comments are just
every, like, single comment. It was like 500 comments on his, like, it's like a thing that, or happy anniversary to his wife or her birthday or something. Every single comment is like, come to Green Bay. Every single one.
Did we find the first thing that, like, as a fan base we've ever agreed upon? Like,
everyone agrees.
Thing that everyone, like, to a T is like, yeah, I because even like, I've talked about it on the radio, I've talked about it on live show. I don't think I've had one person say, or any of my comments or anything, be like, this is such a stupid idea. I don't think there's a single one.
Don't sign T. Higgins. He's going to be way too freaking expensive.
Yeah.
You only need a couple years to Devontae. He's still really damn good against man coverage. And
we found it. The one thing,
the perfect mentor for Dontavian Wicks. It's Devontae.
It's all perfect. It's all perfect. Yeah. I'll say this too. When I had made that comment about, like, the Green Bay, I still don't think the Packers need a number one wide receiver. I think it was like the week after that I was watching the Jets game, and Adams was out there, and he was having like a vintage Davante Adams game. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. I'm like, oh, that is different.
Oh, I felt things watching Jets games.
I remember that very well. I missed that a lot. And like, that was the first time I'm like, oh, maybe I need to reevaluate this entire. And now, yeah, I'm all in. All right. Last but not least, unless you guys can think of any other ones here, game of the year.
Even though it was a loss, I loved the Lions game. I thought they competed their tails
off. That was a great game.
Game was sick.
Yeah. Yep. That was a fantastic game.
That's my vote. Again, it always sucks when you're on the losing end of it as a fan, but if you like can take objectively just a step backwards, and I get there were some bad calls, but like it had drama, it had bad calls, it had both teams taking leads in the fourth quarter. It was literally one of those games where you felt like whoever gets the ball last is going to win. And then, like, you know, the Lions looked like they were going to kick a field goal and Green Bay was going to get the ball back. And then Dan Campbell makes the absurd fourth down decision to like go for it. and not go for the field goal and then run out the clock and get it. And it was just, it was a very, very fun game, even if Green Bay didn't come out on top.
I've never seen a coach be so aggressive that the analytics told him not to go for it. And he just said, screw it, I'm going to go for it anyway. I just love the culture he's put in. Yeah.
I was going to say that game is sandwiched in between my two favorite wins, which were the Miami win and the Seattle win. I think that was kind of when the Packers were playing their best ball, and all those games were fun. And, you know, unfortunately, again, it kind of went a little downhill after that. But yeah, that was definitely, I think, a really good three game stretch where the Packers were playing good football and, you know, some entertaining games. A lot of Josh Jacobs touchdowns during that little three game stretch. So yeah, that was fun.
All right, friends, we put Tyler to sleep. He's yawning. He needs to get to bed. Any other awards that we did not go over? Any other ones that you guys can think of? I know I pretty much hit you with the laundry list of anything that was out there, but anything else?
Edgerrin Cooper wins the That Boy Fast Award. Draft prospect Tyler won't shut up about. It's Matthew Golden. favorite co-host on the podcast this year. It's a tie. It's the APC guys and you guys. I can't pick just one. So,
deal. Nathan, anything else on your end?
I'm honored. I don't think so. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
Yeah, we hit pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Nathan, I will end with this. Will Jimmy Butler be a Milwaukee Buck?
When there was first rumors and it was even mentioned, I was like, there's absolutely no chance. Like, no way. I would have said 0.00001% chance. I'll give it like a 5% chance now. I think there's actually, like, the way they're talking about this, there might be an actual chance that this happens. If it does, I won't be like the most thrilled person. I don't absolutely love it, but I would understand it. I'd still be like excited about it. I'm a little conflicted on it because I don't mind giving up Bobby or whatever, but giving up Chris to get Jimmy Butler, I know to a lot of people that seems like a no-brainer. I just, the fit with Chris, how he meshes with this team, I like it. So I'm conflicted, but I do think there's a little bit of a chance.
Free Benedict Mathurin. He did nothing wrong. I just saw he got suspended for a game.
Yeah, I just got that.
I'm furious. He got a tech for hanging on the rim. That was the softest call I've ever seen. Yeah.
Where he got suspended for hanging on the rim?
No, he apparently made contact and verbally abused an official, I know I'm a little biased. No player who is like a slasher gets fewer calls than that guy. Like, he'll get his head taken off and nothing. So he deserves to verbally abuse one ref.
What was the Cam Newton comment that he got from the referee of like, you're not old enough or you're not experienced, you're not good enough yet to get that call or something like that, where the referee said it to his face, where you're like, you're not, I don't know. I forget what it was, but maybe that's what the referee is saying to Benedict Mathurin is you're not experienced enough or you're not good enough yet to get that call.
All right. Well, we're 6-1 in 2025. So, you know, I'm pretty happy right now. I was distraught, I think, the last time we recorded. So what a turnaround it's been.
It has been. They have turned around things quite a bit. We could probably talk about this a lot more, but no, we got to get out of here. Tyler, what do you want to plug on the way out?
Doing some draft stuff. I've got an interview with a draft prospect next week that'll be revealed. I'll share with you guys off camera, but excited to talk to the guy.
Nice. All right, Nathan, what about you?
Yeah, just my Twitter at Nathan Marzian. Do a lot of sports stuff there. Again, obviously Bucks, Marquette, Packers, a little bit of Cub stuff in the summer, but you can live with that. It's not too much. And so yeah, just follow me there, and that's where you'll see most of my content.
Can't believe I brought on a Pacer fan and a Cubs fan. What the hell was I thinking? No, I appreciate you guys a ton. Make sure to check them both out again. Tyler D. Brook at Nathan Marzian. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.